Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4. In verse 6, God gives more grace, in the original language, greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Take this very seriously. That God gives more grace to the humble, and he will resist the proud, but he does give grace to the humble. Everything that you have with God depends on humility. Without humility, we have nothing with God except God's resistance. The word resist in the original language there is a picture of a military operation against an enemy. And so God treats the person who is proud as though they were an enemy, although they may even be saved. Why is that? Because pride is the entry point to sin, number one, yes, but also to evil, which is Satan's government. In Ezekiel 28:15, when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, it was because iniquity was found in his heart. Iniquity is an emotional rebellion against God, and it is rooted in pride. In Isaiah 14:13-14, when Lucifer gave his five eye wills against God, he revealed the pride that was in his heart before God. So we have to be very careful. What happened as a result was that Lucifer was immediately kicked out of heaven. God did not tolerate it, not for a second. We have to be very careful. Now, we are saved. We cannot lose our salvation. We have positional truth, but we also have experiential reality. We want to live in positional truth, not in the experiential reality that we have. Experiential reality is based on things that are not necessarily truth. Experiential reality will take into account things like my sin nature, the world system which is in the hands of the evil one, other people's old sin natures, negative things. Experiential reality is not the full reality because heaven and earth will pass away. That's not God's heaven. That is the sky and the universe will pass away, but his word will never pass away. So we always want to live in what God has said. We do not want to become as those who are unsaved by living by what we can see or what we experience. If I live by what God has said, my experience will line up to my position. If I live only by my experience and not by my position with God, and by my position in God, I mean things like forgiven, accepted in the beloved, things like seated above in heavenly places, things like perfected in Christ, the body of Christ, stuff like that. If I live in my position, my experience will line up. If I live in my experience, then I will never get to enjoy my position. You don't worry so much about your experience. You look to your position and the things that God has done for you. Pride brings you to experience apart from your position. This is exactly what happened to Lucifer. Lucifer was proud, and in his pride, he could not understand the ways of God. In humility, he could have, but in pride, he could never understand them. Why? Because pride will obstruct your view of who God is. Pride will dampen your understanding. Pride will take you away from the mind of Christ, and it will put you into deception. That is the nature of pride. In Proverbs 16:18, a proud spirit will come before your destruction. And so you want to stay away from pride. You want to make sure that you voluntarily humble yourself. Now, for a believer who will not humble themselves, God will bring a humbling process. Because He loves that believer, and even though that believer may not be right with Him, God will do what is necessary to cause that believer to become right with Him. We always want to stay on the side of humility. A humble person will not think too much of themselves. A humble person will not think too little of themselves either. A humble person will just not think of themselves all that much. Only in as much as what you must to take care of your life, to take care of your family, and so on. But a humble person, they are never the issue. God is always the issue. Stay on the side of humility. Whatever you do, protect humility like it is the most precious diamond that exists. Because that humility is the basis for everything with God. In Habakkuk 2:4, His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just will live by his faith. An uplifted soul is the definition of pride. Now the soul has five parts. It has the mind, the emotions, the consciousness, the self-consciousness, you can also call that the self-image, and the volition, your ability to choose. When one of those elements, or sometimes more than one, often mind and emotions are tied together and uplifted together, when those are lifted up above the Word of God, above the character of God, when those are lifted up above yielding to God, obedience and faith, then you have pride. And a proud person is never right with God. But then it continues, the just shall live by faith. Faith and humility are twin sisters. Now, without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. Without humility, you encounter God's resistance. So faith and humility are both necessary, and with faith and humility, we enter into grace in Romans 5:2 and James 4:6. Now, grace is one of those things that sometimes is a little tricky for us. Sometimes people don't trust grace, and the reason why they don't trust it is because they don't understand it. Grace has three parts, although people sometimes only recognize one part. If you ask the average believer what is grace, they will tell you it is the unmerited, that is to say, not deserved, favor of God. That definition is true but not complete. Yes, that is one of the aspects of grace. It is a gift of God in Ephesians 2:8. Therefore, it is not deserved. It cannot be earned. It's given strictly as a gift. But it's also the character of God expressed in His kindness in Ephesians 2:7. So we turn to the kindness of God. It's not just that we know God will forgive us of all sins, and thereby we have grace. That is not the extent of it, that is the beginning of it. God shows us tremendous kindness. In humility, we receive the kindness of God. That kindness can take place in every situation, and it has various expressions for every situation. The kindness of God may give you wisdom when you need it. The kindness of God will provide physically for you. Maybe you don't have money, and the kindness of God will take care of your basic needs. The kindness of God will take care of your relationships. The kindness of God will guide you into the call and the plan of God. The kindness of God will be extremely forgiving toward you. The kindness of God will give you all that you need for everything, and God does it because He is kind. This is experienced in humility. A proud person blocks the hand of kindness. The last part of grace that we need to understand in Hebrews 4:16 is that grace is a government. It is the government of God in my heart. That government is not made of laws. There is only one law in the government of God. And in John 13:34, that law is that you love one another as Christ has loved you. That is the only law in the government of God. The way that the government of God works is that when you receive the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, in John 16:13, guides you in all truth. Because there is another, that is to say God, guiding you in all truth, you are now under the government of God. Humility will yield to the Holy Spirit guiding you in all truth. Humility will yield to the Word of God. When I have humility, the throne of grace operates in my life. It gives me mercy and help in time of need. If I do not have humility, then albeit grace is available in an experiential way in my life, it's not operational. In other words, God can't do anything for me because I'm blocking Him from doing so. In Mark 10:15, whoever receives the kingdom of God, that is to say the government of God, kingdoms are about government. Whoever receives the kingdom of God as a little child will enter into that kingdom. But if I don't receive it as a little child, that is to say, if I don't receive it in simple faith, humility, in simple trust because of humility, then I can't enter into the government of God. I'll always try to have my own government. I'll always try to depend on my own thinking. I'll always try to depend on my own resources. The problem is that God's ways are so far beyond our ways in Isaiah 55, 8, 9 that my resources don't even begin to address the real issues. My own thinking doesn't even begin to address the real issues. So only in humility can I find a real life with God. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord? And in the King James, it says that he may instruct him. The word is not instruct, it's actually comprehend. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he could comprehend him, that he can understand him? But we have the mind of Christ. Faith is when you think with God through His Word. Humility is when you submit to His Word. Faith and humility are both required to enter into grace. Everything that we possess with God is by grace. There is nothing that we have in our lives, not even breath, that is not by grace. We didn't earn it. We cannot keep it on our own. It's strictly a gift of grace. Humility is required for me to enter into faith. Humility is required for me to enter into grace. If I refuse to think with the Word of God, because I think that somehow what I see, what I can understand, what I can figure out is superior to the Word of God, to the mind of God, then I will never enter into the government of God that provides things like undeserved benefits or the kindness of God. I can't enter into those things because I turn away from those things in pride. Everything that you possess with God, you possess by grace. All grace that you receive from God is because of humility. If I guard humility, then I can walk in the fullness of grace. If I let pride enter in, I'm going to let grace slip away from my experience. And so we keep ourselves in the love of God looking for mercy, and we keep ourselves in the grace of God by humbling ourselves before Him. That grace is everything, and therefore humility is everything. There is no believer that can have a rich relationship with God outside of humility. Because humility is what causes God to give me grace. If I decide I don't need grace, if I decide I don't want grace, then I will find God's opposition. There's no one who can stand in the face of God's opposition. Armies cannot stand in the face of God's opposition. When the Assyrians were attacking Israel under King Hezekiah, the Assyrian general spoke boldly against God. That was a devastating mistake. The Assyrian general would have been much better off humbling himself before God, recognizing what God was doing for Israel, and walking away with his army. But instead, he was arrogant, he was proud. He stood against God, he stood against the people of God. And by the way, you cannot stand against the people of God without standing against God. Sometimes people ask themselves, well, what if it's a Christian who is standing against a Christian? Then that Christian has entered into pride and will experience the resistance, the opposition of God. Even a Christian cannot stand against the people of God. That's why we never speak evil one against another. Even if the person wrongs us, even if the person does something against us, outside of dealing with it in appropriate delegated authority, we don't talk about it, we don't publish it, we don't tell our best friend about it. The best thing for us to do is to forget about it. Now, if somebody breaks the law and they do something against you that's a crime, there is a provision for that. It's called national entity. And so a crime, yes, that has to be reported to the police, but beyond that, we don't discuss it with people. Why? Because of humility, because of kingdoms, because of God's order. We maintain that order through humility. And God brings in grace. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That means that God is able to give you tons of grace. All kinds of grace. Tremendous amounts of grace. Always having all sufficiency in all things. May have an abundance for every good work. Grace will give you everything that you need for everything in your life. You enter it through humility. You protect your relationship to God through humility. You protect your relationship to your family through humility. Your relationship to your friends, if you're married, to your spouse, to your parents, to your children, you protect your relationships with humility. If there is pride that enters into a relationship, then you will no longer have what you need to maintain the health of that relationship. And it'll show up in things like self-centeredness, or negativity, or anger, or what have you. The only reason why there are problems in relationships is pride. Somebody decides to be proud, and they no longer operate in grace. They're no longer kind, they're no longer patient, they're no longer gentle, they're no longer representing Christ in that relationship. Situations are the same way. Jobs are the same way. School is the same way. Everything works like that. Everything is given you through grace, and when you have humility, then you receive all that grace has for you. Protect your humility. It is worth more than anything and everything else. Protect your humility. If you sense pride creeping in, if you sense yourself thinking too much of yourself, or for that matter, too little of yourself, correct your thinking. Don't tolerate it. Protect your humility. Because in humility is where you find God and all that God has for you. Amen.
If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.